الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 23rd of December in the year 2017 الحمد لله we moved on to the 12th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the eminent companion, Sayyidina Khalid ibn al-Walid radiyallahu. And I've reached the section where I'm now mentioning his forte, and that is being used for the various campaigns during the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the next section is entitled The Khaybar Expedition. So what was Khaybar? The Jews had a chain of strong forts at Khaybar. These were an ever source of present threat for the Muslims. This eventually led to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam having to deal with them. So if you look at the early campaigns, the Battle of the Trench, it was the Bani Israel who caused this. They were always causing harm, trying to destroy the Muslims, if not our beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this was kind of the capital, Khaybar. So when did the Prophet decide to deal with them? Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This took place in 7 AH, after the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, when now the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not need to worry about the threat from the unbelieving Quraysh and their allies. So you got to understand when he's doing this. He signed the treaty. So now who's neutralized? The Quraysh. This was the public enemy number one of the Muslims. So now there's peace with them. Now he could deal with other threats. Indeed, our loving Lord Subhanahu wa Ta'ala had promised the believers abundant spoils from this encounter when he said, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, in Surah Al-Fath, Surah 48, verse 18 to 20, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ أَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ فَعَلِمَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ فَأَنزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَأَثَابُهُمْ فَتْحًا قَرِيبًا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was well pleased with the believers when they were swearing allegiance to you under the tree. He knew what was in their hearts. Therefore he sent down on them sakina and he allowed a victory close by. وَمَغَانِمَ كَثِيرَةً يَأْخُذُونَهَا وَقَانَ اللَّهُ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا And abundant spoils will they acquire. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is exalted and powerful of wisdom. وَأَدَكُمُ اللَّهُ مَغَانِمَ كَثِيرَةً تَأَخُذُونَهَا فَعَجَّلَ لَكُمْ هَذِهِ He has promised you many spoils that you will take. And he has hastened this one particularly for you. So in these holy verses, Surah 48 verse 18 to 20, the first magnificent moment Allah Ta'ala encapsulates for eternity is the pledge under the tree. So this took place when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam heard that Uthman had been martyred, who had been sent to the Quraysh. So they pledged to death to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to fight for the sake of Uthman radiyallahu. But Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He praised that because He knew what was in their hearts. And he has sent down sakina upon them. So this is the famous part of the verse. Meaning that all these are noble souls. Allah Ta'ala knew what was in their hearts, only he knows. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, at the end, fathan qariba. He has given you a victory, which is very close. Fath. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he's also promised, wa maghanima kathira. Abundant spoils will you acquire. And then in the next passage, he has promised you many spoils, but then he says, and he has hastened one for you. So one particular spoils you will receive very quickly. Now think about this. The Prophet, they have pledged allegiance to him, and this verse was revealed. They haven't even done the Umrah. They've been told to go back. So now what does that particular passage mean? In Ibn Jarir and Ibn Kathir, in their respective tafsirs, Mujahid Rahmatullah Alayhi, he recited, Surah Al-Fath, Surah 28, verse 20. Surah 48, verse 20. فَأَجَّلَ لَكُمْ هَذِهِ And he has hastened this one for you. Mujahid explained, refers to the conquest of Khaybar. So look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has now promised the Muslims, the believers, radiyallahu ta'ala. He goes, you will get a quick spoils. And it's Khaybar being referred to. In another report, in Fath al-Bari, 16-40-41, Yunus ibn Bukair similarly said, Rahmatullah alayh, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam departed from Hudaybiyah and was between Makkah and Medina when Surah al-Fath was revealed. Thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him Khaybar, to which he has referred to when he said, and he recited the passage, وَأَدَكُمُ اللَّهُ مَغَانِمَ كَثِيرَةً تَأْخُذُونَهَا فَأَجَّلَ لَكُمْ حَاذِ He has promised you many spoils that you will take, and he has hastened this one for you. So here it mentions between Makkah and Medina, Surah Al-Fath was revealed when they were returning back from Makkah to Al-Madina without doing the Umrah. So they realized then that this was a victory. The Treaty of Hudaybiyah was a victory. So what's being promised? They will receive many spoils, but Khaybar is being given to you quickly. Therefore, when that verse was revealed, wasn't this a mandate by Allah the Almighty Himself to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Deal with them now. Means the Quraysh has been eliminated. They will not pose any problems to you. Now, what's interesting? It is interesting to note, when these holy verses were revealed, Khalid bin Walid had not embraced Islam by then, radiyallahu anhu. But he embraced Islam shortly after these verses were revealed. He was thereafter allowed to participate in the campaign against the mischievous Jews. Think about that. Look how interesting. When these verses were revealed, he wasn't a Muslim. Right? And yeah, Allah has promised a quick spoils. So you'd expect, oh, it's all those Sahaba who had pledged. It wasn't just them. There were some others who also went. And who was allowed to go? Khalid bin Walid. Don't forget, he just become Muslim, radiallahu. Subhanallah, the Jews were completely caught by surprise upon our beloved messenger's approach, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Sahih Bukhari, number 610, Sahih Muslim, number 1365, Anas, he relates, radiallahu, on the morning of Khaybar, when the people, the Jews, came out with their tools, and they saw the Muslim army, they immediately ran back and they cried out, Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by Allah, Muhammad and the army, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Holy Prophet, upon hearing this, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahu Akbar, Khaybar has been destroyed. And then he recited Surah Al-Safat, Surah 37, verse 177. فَإِذَا نَزَلَ بِسَاحَتِهِمْ فَسَاءَ صَبَاحُ الْمُنذَرِينَ Then when it descends into the courtyards before them, then evil will be the morning for those who were warned and heeded not. So let's look at this. So the Prophet is now heading towards Khaybar with a force, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, amongst whom was Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu. Why were the Jews totally caught off guard? Because they thought he's got enough problems with the Quraysh. They probably hadn't heard that he's signed a treaty with them. So that's why they were caught off guard. So when they saw, they were going out to work. Imagine the fields. And he goes, Muhammad is here. Muhammad and his army, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took that as a good sign. Because they are destroyed. And look how amazing, he was a living Quran. He recited the appropriate verse in the Quran. When it descends into the courtyards before them, then evil will be the mourning for those who were warned and heeded not. In other words, you should have been the first to embrace Islam. Now you're coming with the messenger of Allah to destroy you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Jews, as mentioned, hastily withdrew into their fortresses. However, all defenses were now futile. Why? Because Allah the Almighty and Glorious says in Surah Al-Hashr, Surah 59, verse 2, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وظنوا أنهم مانعتهم حصونهم من الله And they thought that their fortresses would defend them from Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Did you think these fortresses are going to protect you from me? This is what you think. Though slowly but surely the believers began to capture the fortresses one after another. Shortly thereafter, the remaining forts of Khaybar fell, and it was subdued by the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you talk about Khaybar, it wasn't just one habitation, it was a string. You understand? So this was a stronghold of the Bani Israel. And one by one they were falling. There was one particular one which was quite tough to take. And the report mentions in this Sahih Hadith, in Imam Ahmad's Musnad, Abu Bakr was told first to go and try to subdue the fort. He went with a group of men and he was not successful. He came back, and then the Prophet said, tomorrow I will give the standard to a person who loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger love him. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, I never desired authority, but I desired it then. And then he goes, the next day we were all hoping. His Umar goes, I was sticking, you know, trying to, you know, he was tall anyway. But then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, where's Ali radiallahu anhu? And Ali at the time was ill. He had something wrong with his blessed eyes. So the Prophet goes, go and call him. So he comes. The Prophet then in Bukhari and Muslim takes some of the blessed saliva, puts it over his eyes, he's instantly cured. Then the Prophet said, go with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and call them. For one of them to be guided is better for you than red camels. And this last bit is what people quote. All the other part of the hadith is not. So that's the part of the hadith which Da'is quote. For one person to be guided through you, you get the reward better than red camels. Red camels were priceless to the Arabs. So obviously he called them. They refused to listen. He took out Madhab. He was a big shaitan. And there's a report mentioning that he actually single-handedly ripped open the fortress door and carried it. But all of these reports have weakness. We don't, you know, obviously, we do, if it is, of course, certainly possible, the miracle of the karamat of the companions, but the hadith suffer from weakness. So, again, if it's true, Alhamdulillah, if it's not, it is a matter that fortress fell. Altogether, the Jews lost some 93 men. Referred to Hafiz Waqidi Rahmatullah Ali in his Al-Maghazi 2-700. And some women and children were taken as slaves. One of them was Safiya, radiyallahu, the daughter of the Jewish chieftain, Huyay ibn Akhtab, who was later married to our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is where Safiya became the mother of the believers. So now, what's strange? Why did Safiya, who had just lost her father, her husband in the encounter, now willingly marry the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So some people look into this, they go, look how the Prophet is just after women. Astaghfirullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the response is, she was a slave. She was a prisoner of war. The Prophet married her. Do victors marry their slaves? Right? And then what was interesting is, because she lost her father, her husband, Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu was guarding outside. This is in Hakim in his Mustadrak Sahih Hadith. So the Prophet asked, who's outside? And it was Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu. And he goes, why are you outside? He says, Ya Rasulullah, this woman has just lost her husband and father, and I'm a bit worried, so I'm just guarding him. So the Prophet made a dua, he goes, MashaAllah, because there's nothing to worry about. Right? So no, that's why. Then when the Prophet looked at Safiya, she had a mark. Because what's this mark you've got? And then she narrated the whole narrative in Ibn Hisham, in his seerah, Ibn Ishaq al-Bidai. She goes, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my father and my uncle were talking about you a few years prior. And one of them said to the other, is it him? Is this the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And one of them said, yes, it is him. Another asked, what should we do? The other says, we're going to fight him. Because we will never follow him. So Safiya goes, I heard this and I was shocked. I thought, how could you testify he's the Prophet sallallahu alayhi, and then oppose him? Then she said, when I married my first husband, I had a dream and the moon fell into my lap. So I mentioned this to my husband and he slapped me. And he goes, this is the mark that you see. He goes, oh, you want to marry Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he goes, the Prophet smiled. And then he goes, that's why she, because she was already Muslim. He goes, the only reason I'm here. So that's why she willingly became the mother of the believers. So obviously this is the time during the campaign of Khaybar, she became the mother of the believers radiallahu. Amongst the believers, 20 men were blessed with martyrdom. Referred to Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Hisham, in his seerah 3-478 is Mu'allaq. So 93 Bani Israel were killed, 20 companions were martyred, radiallahu ta'ala. This was the first military campaign that Khalid bin Walid had participated with our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is very significant. If anybody asks you, what was his first military campaign with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? A lot of people say the conquest of Makkah. That's not correct. It was Khaybar. But where's the proof? In Abu Dawud, number 3806, in the chapter on foodstuffs, Ahmad in his Musnad, number 16862 or 4-89, Ibn Zanjawi in his Kitab al-Amwal, number 618, Al-Shaybani in his Al-Ahad wa Al-Mathani, number 703 or 2-29. Khalid bin Walid himself, he said, radiyallahu, we fought in the battle of Khaybar in the companionship of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as victory loomed, some people hastened to enter the compounds of the Jews. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then ordered me to deliver the azan. Then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when they had all gathered, O people, you have hastened to enter the compounds of the Jews. Beware, the property of the mu'ahadina, the non-Muslim citizens under a pledge with the Muslims, is not lawful to you except that which is due. So this is a point of fiqh. So this clearly proves what? Khalid was there. How can you brush aside this report? Say he wasn't there. He's narrating the report. And he goes, you know, either he's, you know, hearing it from somebody, but he was there. And he himself said that the Prophet goes, called the people. The word is azan. So he may have been the azan, or maybe as-salat al-jamiya, one of the calls that the people gathered. When they gathered, what were the companions doing? Some of them had entered the compounds, they were taking things. The Prophet goes, no. He goes, beware of this. In other words, some of them, he goes, they've given the pledge. It's forbidden for you to take things. So Khalid remembered this, radiyallahu. And similarly, in another report, it mentions, in Tabarani in his Kabir, number 3828, or 4-111, Ibn Zanjawi in his Kitab al-Amwal, number 619, Khalid bin Walid, he relates, radiyallahu, that our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah, وَإِنِّي أُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْكُمْ أَمْوَالُ الْمُؤَاحِدِينَ بِغَيْرِ حَقِّهَا. Beware, I forbid you to take the wealth of non-Muslim citizens unjustly. So note, it's not the case of Muslims just entering and just taking, like you see them films. What? Is that your reference? Kingdom of Heaven, right? MashaAllah, right? With a Sayyid chain of transmission back to the director. Right, or Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. You know, watch that one. I'll give you another, you know, excerpt on it. We're not allowed to take anything, right? We're doing it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then it's distributed, if there's anything to be distributed. And in another report, Khalid bin Walid relates, radiyallahu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this on the day of Khaybar, refer to Dar al-Qutni in his Sunan, number 63, or 4-287. So this is taking things from the Zimmis. That's a major sin. Taking something from them is absolutely forbidden. What if you kill them? How bad is that? In Sahih Bukhari, number 2,995, Nasai, number 4,750, 6,952, Ibn Majah, number 2,686, Ahmad in his Musnad, number 6,745, Bayhaqi in his Sunan al-Kubra, number 16,260, or 8-133, Bazar in his Musnad, number 2,283, 3,273, Hakim in his Mustadrak, number 2,508, Sahih. Abdullah ibn Amr radiyallahu anhu relates that our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man qatala mu'ahadan lam yarih ra'ihat al-jannah wa inna rihaha tujadu min masirati arba'ina ama. Anyone who kills a non-Muslim citizen will not even smell the fragrance of paradise. And its breeze, its fragrance can be smelt at a distance of 40 years. Meaning, even Jannah is forbidden to you. If they've given the pledge, their blood, their property is unlawful to you. Imagine. Though you've taken them, right? Their blood, their property is unlawful. If you kill them, paradise is forbidden to you. Think about that. This education was to prove invaluable to the sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why Allah ta'ala put him there. Because he was later going to deal with these situations. So note, it's very significant who narrates these reports. You can see Allah Ta'ala's guiding certain individuals in this. The spoils were immense from this campaign, because the Quran said it was immense. Look how interesting. Before all this happened, the dragos, great spoils, I promised you. But how much? In Sahih Bukhari, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said, it was only after the fall of Khaybar that we could eat to our fill. So imagine all the time before Khaybar, they couldn't eat to their fill. That's how hard the circumstances were. But he goes, Khaybar was the turning point. Because now he goes, we could eat whatever we wanted. How much foodstuff did these people have? Right? And this is why after Khaybar, that's why the promise was there. And Khalid obviously was also part of the taking the spoils of the Bani Israel. Now what's interesting about that? The Bani Israel are always like this. They store up. They make grand orchards, grand plans, grand this and that. And who takes it? You work here, innit? Note, Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullah alayhi mentions that Khalid ibn Walid embraced Islam after Khaybar had fallen, referred to Al-Isabah 1-413. However, many of the scholars dispute this, and this seems to be an oversight on the part of the Honorable Imam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So this is certainly worth mentioning. Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullah alayhi, he said Khalid embraced Islam after Khaybar. So this shows that even the great giants, right, they can, you know, obviously err at times. I'm not saying he's erred. It's the other respect to the ulama, because these reports clearly indicate he was there. He's narrating the reports. He was there at Khaybar. How could he have embraced Islam after Khaybar? Was he not a Muslim and he was just following the Prophet? So again, note, it's certainly worth mentioning. So, to mention an incident, there's an incident that occurred at Khaybar. There was a companion, radiyallahu, and he basically came face to face with Marhab. Marhab was the stubborn fortress of the Jews that had not fallen. He was a seasoned warrior, and he basically came out and he was killing companions. You know, he was a ferocious warrior. So one of the companions came out to duel with him, and he swung his sword, and he missed. But because the force was so great, the sword hit himself. So the companion inadvertently struck himself, and from that he was martyred. So some of the other companions, they said, he's wasted it. In other words, he's killed himself. So the brother of that Sahaba, Salama radiallahu anhu, he was really hurt over this. Because how can my brother be, you know, he didn't mean to kill himself. You know, he was trying to kill Marhab, and he's really upset over this. Went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he's got two rewards. He goes, one is that he's, you know, he fought against the people of the book. And the second is, he's a martyr. So it's a special place. If you fight the Jews, the Christians, in Bani Israel, you get two rewards. And he goes, he gets two rewards. In other words, you should be praising him, not belittling him. So anyway, what happened? So Marhab goes back and he's going, yeah, look, you know, I'm the champion, this, that, and the other. So what happened? Next person to call him out was Ali radiallahu anhu. So Ali radiallahu anhu comes forward, and then he starts saying, I am Haider, I am the lion. And he starts basically, and this is the time you're supposed to show off, right? And then Marhab is looking, and one of the rabbis goes, look, don't even think about it. He goes, why not? He goes, I can see your end from him. So Marhab obviously puffed up with pride. He goes, no, I'll take him on, right? So he comes out, and the report says they're having a little, you know, poetry first. So Marhab comes out with his poetry, Ali Radiyan comes out with his poetry, and then they start to duel. Hazrat Ali Radiyan split his head in half. That's all he says. Right? And where's this recorded? Sahih Muslim. And then the one report says, Hafiz Waqidi Rahmatullah Ali mentions in his Maghazi that Muhammad ibn Maslam also participated in the killing. So what you learn is Hazrat Ali was something else, radiallahu. He wasn't even a Jew. He just split his head in half, Marhab. And after that, his name and fame started increasing. So Sayyidina Ali, this is why he's got that title, Haider. It's not something that some people have invented. He himself said that I'm called Haider, the lion. And later on, people said to Sayyidina Ali, radiallahu, they said, you are the bravest of all men. So this narration is in Bazaar and Hayat al-Sahab. It's Hassan. And he wept. And he goes, no. Before he answered, he says, anybody who came in front of me, I defeated. But he goes, I'm not the bravest. So look how interesting. He's actually said something to acknowledge what they're saying. He's anybody who came face to face with me, he goes, he never left alive unless I took him as a prisoner. But I am not the bravest. So the people looked at each other, they goes, how can you not be the bravest if that's the situation? He goes, Abu Bakr, because he was the bravest. And then he mentioned an incident about Abu Bakr radiallahu. He says, there was a time when the Prophet in the early days was doing the tawaf, and the unbelievers, they all surrounded him. And they were about to strike and to possibly kill the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes, nobody came to his assistance except Abu Bakr. And then he goes, he fought with some, he ruffled others up, and he recited a verse in Surah Al-Mu'minun. Because when you kill a man, because he says his Lord is Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then they all turned on him, as Ali said. And he goes, they almost killed Abu Bakr. Because he was the bravest of all men. So Hazrat Ali was acknowledging that it's not just defeating your opponents. There's times where bravery is at the next level. And he goes, it meant certain death. But Abu Bakr still came forward. Because I was there, I couldn't go. Abdullah ibn Masud himself said, I couldn't help. But Abu Bakr came straight to help the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So no, Hazrat Ali was a phenomenon, without doubt. And his name would send a shudder down the Bani Israel's spines after they knew what happened in Adkhir. So making a start on the next section. During the glorious conquest of Makkah, Sayyidina Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu had the honor of leading one of the divisions of the Muslim army into the holy city. So there was 10,000 companions coming. They all didn't come in one direction, different gates of Makkah. Khalid bin Walid was leading a contingent. It is related in Ibn Hisham in his Seerah, volume 4, page 72, Hafiz Waqidi in his Al-Maghazi, volume 2, page 8 to 5 to 6, that Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu anhu's division was thereupon attacked by a group of the Quraysh, who felt it was below their dignity to allow the mother city to fall without a fight, amongst whom was Khalid's cousin, nephew, Ikrimah ibn Abu Jahl, radiyallahu anhu. The sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala needed no further signal, and he replied in kind. Over 20 of the Quraysh men were killed, and for the loss of only two Muslim soldiers. When our beloved messenger heard of this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was initially very angered, and he said, did I not give orders for all units not to fight? He thereupon was informed that Khalid was attacked by the Quraysh first. He had no choice but to respond. Our beloved messenger thereupon said, whatever Allah Ta'ala brings about is good. So let's look at this. So the Prophet gave orders, do not initiate hostilities. So when Khalid entered, there was a group of the Quraysh, and they thought, this is embarrassing. Because we're not even going to resist. At least we're going to have one go at it. So who were amongst this group? Ikrimah, Suhail ibn Amr, Safwan ibn Umayyah, all Khalid's, you know, group with Khalid, some of his cousins. So there goes, and guess what contingent they targeted? Khalid. So Khalid, obviously, they attacked, and that's it. He goes, I have given orders not to attack. Now, because they've started it. So what happened? 20 of them were killed, but none of the three I've mentioned. Ikrimah, Safwan, and Suhail, they survived. They all became Muslims there. But two companions were martyred. So when the Prophet heard this, he got angry. But then he goes, this was the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now why is this a very significant point? Because of this incident, the scholars, the imams, have differed whether Makkah fell peacefully or whether it fell by force. Look how interesting that is. If somebody goes, did Makkah fall peacefully or by force? Most say peacefully. Some say no, by force. Then the guy goes, how can he fall out? Well, they just entered Makkah. Khalid bin Walid. He engaged with them. Now why is that significant? Because in fiqh, a lot of rulings are deduced from this. So this is also certainly worth mentioning here. And to finish, it was not long thereafter that the holy Kaaba was purified of the idols around it, and upon the magnanimity of our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the unbelieving Quraysh thereupon came in droves to enter into the glorious deen. So what happened? Makkah fell. The Prophet said, whoever enters the Kaaba, he is safe. Whoever enters Abu Sufyan ibn Harb's house, he is safe. And whoever enters his own dwelling, he is safe. So the residents, they stayed in their dwellings and around the Kaaba. Anybody outside, they were lawful game, basically. None of them dared except the little contingent. So when the Prophet entered the Kaaba, they were looking through closed doors thinking, we're at total mercy. We've killed his family. We've killed his companions. He's going to sort us out. We're war criminals. So who's next on the chopping block? Ikrimah, Safwan ibn Umayyah, the same people who attacked Suhail ibn Amr. So what happened? The Prophet goes to the Kaaba Sharif first and he sees the idols, 360 of them. And he recited a verse. وَقُلْ جَاءُ الْحَقُّ وَزَحَقَ الْبَاطِلُ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ قَانَ زَهُوكَ. Truth has come and falsehood has vanished. Falsehood is ever bound to perish. And then he himself, not the first idol now. That gave a signal to the other companions. And all the other companions then started taking out these stupid idols around the Holy Kaaba. Khalid ibn Walid got one of the big ones, right? He was smashing it, right? So all the idols were smashed around the Kaaba. Then the Prophet entered the Kaaba, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he saw an image on the walls. And one of the images was Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam holding, you know, arrows, which they would do to do fortune telling. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, may Allah curse them, because he was the furthest from fortune telling, because they raised the image. So inside the Kaaba there was kufr images. One report says there was the image of Isa and Maryam on the wall. What's that doing in the Kaaba, right? This was also erased. So it was completely purified. And then they were all looking, thinking, what, how are they going to... Then they start doing the tawaf. So they're looking from inside, then they're thinking, right, now he's going to make an announcement. Kopla's coming off. So the Prophet, he gets the people's attention. And then he says to the unbelieving Quraysh, he goes, what am I going to do with you now? So Abu Sufyan, they all emerge now. And he goes, you are the honorable one, son of the honorable one. Mm. Meaning, whatever you do, he goes, it is justified. Mm. Then the Prophet said, I will say to you what Yusuf والسلام, said to his brothers. La tathrib, no reproach on you this day. Go, you are all forgiven. Mm. And then they couldn't believe it. Because we killed his family, we killed his companions. And then he goes, in one wave, they started rushing to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they started embracing Islam. They were called the tulaqa, the freed ones. Right? So all of this was taking place very quickly upon the Prophet's great, magnanimous gesture. And when he entered Makkah, he entered and people thought he's going to be sticking his chest out, thinking, now you're going to get it. The hadith says in Bayhaqi that he was on his camel and his head was almost touching the neck of the camel. He was in ruku or sujood. Meaning, he was not entering, because this is the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was reciting Surah Al-Fatih. The same surah that was revealed on the way back, when they told him to go back from the Umrah. And one of the tabi'een said, I would have recited that, how the Prophet recited, but I don't want to do riyah. Meaning, he was reciting in a very beautiful way, which was taught to him by one of the companions that allowed it. So he was entering very humbly. And this is why, traditionally, all the righteous forebears would enter cities like this. In great humility, following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Makkah was purified. Imagine. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "There is no hijrah now. Hijrah is finished. Why? Because Makkah has fallen. But there is jihad in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But note, Khalid is already a Muslim. Very important. Why? Because after Makkah fell, the status of the companions isn't as high as the earlier ones. Khalid is already a Muslim, radiyallahu anhu. But there were still some diehards who refused to embrace Islam. But after a short period of time, they also embraced Islam, inshallah. So all I mentioned today was basically the dealing with the Jewish fortresses of Khaybar and the great name of Khalid ibn Walid mentioned there, radiyallahu anhu. And then I mentioned, of course, the fall of the glorious city, Makkah itself. Are there any questions you'd like to ask?
I heard... I think there's a hadith, I think the Prophet, he mentions that Hijra will exist in my Ummah until the Day of Judgment.
Yes. Yes, the Hijra referred to there was the Hijra not from Makkah, You understand, this was specifically in his lifetime. Because Hijra to Medina is now not essential. Because this is the land of Islam now. You can practice your faith here. But the Hijra obviously continues if the situation arises again where your iman is in jeopardy. Then you do Hijra to the land where you can practice your deen. What is strange, to be fair, is that a lot of Muslims are now migrating non-Muslim lands. Because they can practice. What a sign of qiyamah. They're leaving Muslim, so-called Muslim lands because they can't practice their deen. Where they going? Imagine any Great Britain, right? France. Thinking, my God, what's happening here? Right? This is a sign of qiyamah. But, you know, everything goes topsy-turvy at the end of time, which we observe. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanaka allahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, wa atubu ilayhi minash shaitanir rajim, subhanallahi rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun alal mursalin, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr, alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat, wa wasbil haqq, wa wasbil sabr, sadaqallahu alazim.